Hello everyone, welcome back to Winning the Game, the podcast where we talk about leadership and leading yourself and others with more clarity, certainty and power. Wilhelm Haas here today with
Fiona Jacob. Great to be back, Wilhelm.
Yeah, great to have you back and to explore something very important today, and it's to find freedom in the middle of stressful circumstances. We work a lot with leaders, senior leaders, entrepreneurs, people in corporation, people in the academia,
academic world, I would
academic
probably say.
Academic world, yes. Good, still learning my English. And, you know, want to be productive, are productive, sometimes very successful, but the demand for production is bigger than the experience of power and capacity. And then in their urge to resolve this dilemma of not feeling enough, they focus even harder on production and try to produce even more and expand the hours of production. That doesn't work well because to be productive, you need to have capacity or you need to find power. Now, there are some very interesting ways to access power as a human being or access more capacity. And that, to me, has to do a lot with self-awareness and to be able to understand your own reactions in life and to start to have some freedom with your inner world, your inner experience of your thoughts and feelings starting to show up for you in unwanted ways sometimes. So when we feel stressed, it's not a huge problem if we understand where stress comes from and understand how to relate to it. When you feel feelings that are unwanted for you, like frustration or impatience or even anger or hopelessness, you don't need to fix the feelings necessarily, but what is helpful is if you can transform your understanding of the feelings and your relationship to those feelings. I remember a time I was going to have a customer meeting and I did not feel good at all. I was overwhelmed and I was frustrated and I was at the edge of anger. And luckily I caught myself, and rather than trying to fix everything, it was like this inner little talk with myself. Okay, Wilhelm, just slow down now and listen longer than normally and just be kind to yourself. And this could go well. And I went into the meeting, I was still feeling really off and almost angry and frustrated. I don't currently remember why, but it was this experience of, okay, better have freedom with whatever goes on here, because if I can avoid getting triggered by these feelings, I'm basically doing well. And it became a good meeting. I remember the facility I was in, and it ended well. We had a really good talk, and I went out there, and I thought to myself, again, isn't this interesting? You can actually do really well, even though you have challenging thoughts and feelings and circumstances in life. So how you feel doesn't ultimately come from the external circumstances you have. It comes from your thinking being triggered by those circumstances. And I know you have lots of examples of this from your rich life and your background living in many countries. So I talked about one of those situations, if you want to share, or whatever comes up for you to share, this being faced with circumstances that logically would get a human being into a state. But on closer examination, there is freedom possible even in really difficult circumstances.
So I have told this story before, but maybe not on camera. So it's really interesting to do it on this occasion. So back in 1990, I was working in Baghdad, Iraq. And I actually loved both Baghdad and Iraq and the job that I had. So I was working in a Irish hospital. It was tertiary referral hospital. And it was helping pretty much the Iraqis with some of the what I would call tertiary care, so things like heart and kidneys, kidney transplantation and so forth, the skill sets basically that their teams didn't have at that time. Mm-hmm. I went there with a very good friend, and we were there probably about 5 months, really settled in, really loving life, when we woke up one morning and we were told, Saddam Hussein has invaded Kuwait. We don't technically know what that means, But over the following 10 days, we got to know that we were now hostages in a foreign country being held by Saddam Hussein. And we had no option to leave. It's not like, okay, I'm done here, I can leave. We were basically told, you're hostages and you'll be here as long as you're here. But there's one particular episode that really sticks out for me around the stressful piece.
Can I ask you a question?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Because I remember you sharing this earlier with me sometime. It's like all the Westerners left, right, or had left or escaped out of the country, but you and a bunch of people kept there. So there was a very stressful circumstance to start with, right?
Yeah, so it started like it always started in Iraq, which was the airport closes down and nobody can leave.
Yes.
That had happened probably every week since we've been there, because Iran and Iraq were at war with one another. But what had happened was there was a flood of probably 180 to 100,000 Westerners and third country nationals that were living in Iraq at the time. And as the borders closed more definitely, which was probably about 10 days, 2 weeks afterwards, a lot of the people who were no longer necessary were allowed to leave. What happened, though, because I worked at the hospital where Saddam Hussein would come for his health care, it meant that we were kept hostage specifically, you could say, that if anything happened to him or the top brass generals in Iraq, that we would be able to give them health care. So there was a group of us from Ireland, there was a group of us from England also working in the hospital. There were also some Americans that were still held hostage in the American embassy. But basically we were probably about 100 to 150 people left as hostages in Iraq. And it was also really interesting because if you look at the newsreels around that time, we were, I guess, seen as his protection against people starting a war against him. I mean, that's kind of how he used us. We were considered human shields. I think that was the technical term that we were used. But the story is more of one day I was going to work, and I was working during this time. So here's a hostage who's working. Who knew? And I forgot my hospital badge. And walking to the hospital, we had to pass through a kind of guard hut area where we had to be let into the specific area. There was a young soldier. He was probably 16 or 17. And he asked for my badge in Arabic. And of course, I had forgotten it. So did my best in Arabic to say I didn't have it. And he decided, well, right, you're not going anywhere. I'm going to keep you here. And he had a very old AK-47. And it's funny when you start to talk about machinery and armory and a machine gun. It was kind of, you know, technically they're black, but this was kind of like almost sawn off and a little silvery and whatever. You kind of knew it was probably about 20 years old. But he was rigid and he was being very strong and he was saying, nope, you are not going wherever, the direction towards the hospital. And so I got really scared. Like, first of all, this is a 16, 17-year-old and you're thinking, kind of what maturity is somebody holding an AK-47 have when you're 16 years of age? And that was going through my head. And from time to time, he would lift up the AK-47 and kind of put it pointed to me. I just stayed as still as I could. At one point, he went behind me with the gun and he actually put the AK-47 up against my spine. I was terrified. And then I wasn't. There was a moment in there, Wilhelm, and I can't describe what came over me in that moment. There was a moment where I saw him light a cigarette for himself. He had a little cup of Arabic coffee and his cigarette. Kind of the gun from time to time would come up and like, don't move, but put it down. And he lit up a cigarette. And in Arabic, I asked him for a cigarette. I did smoke at that time, folks. Sorry about that. But... And so he offered me a cigarette and I lit it up. And the two of us were just in this space of smoking a cigarette. Mm. And something happened between him and I that was like, we were both two human beings in that space. He wasn't on this side and I wasn't on an adversary at that point. We were just kind of in the space together.
Yeah.
He stubbed out his cigarette. I stubbed out my cigarette. And he kind of lifted up the gun and just went, Yalla, which in Arabic means go. Now, the profound learning for me of all of that was that in the midst of a circumstance that you could say you can be terrified in, your heart is pounding in your chest, you think you might even die. I mean, there were moments in that where I thought, I don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Wisdom and clarity can come into those spaces when your head just stops giving you rubbish, like, yeah, you're going to die. It's just like, oh, ask for a cigarette. What crazy thought is that in the middle of something, right?
Mm.
And yet it's what changed everything. It's what allowed me to have freedom in that moment.
Yeah.
To go to work and be terrified, and my knees probably buckled as I went around the corner. But you know, in the sense of we have this capacity, no matter what is going on, to have freedom with, to have clarity and wisdom show up in the moment and say, "Hey, do this." It made no sense. I can't tell you how that even came to me, but it was the perfect thing for them. So I love, even in a stressful, terrifying situation, that wisdom and clarity is always available.
So interesting, because if you speak to almost any human being, they can recognize this fact that in moments of severe stress or danger, they have experienced this inner clarity and even freedom and awakeness that you could say unexplanatory, or whatever it's called. It's like difficult to explain, but it's not difficult to explain actually, because the stress and anxiety and horror that we feel as human beings always involve our thinking. There is none of those emotions taking place without your thought being included, right? And if that thought for some reason changes, the thought, oh, asking for a cigarette, I don't know what happened, we'll never know, but then the felt experience of life can transform in an instant. And in the drastic examples like this one, right, it's more obvious you went from this range of emotion to clarity and, what do you call it, clarity and certainty?
Wisdom,
yeah. Yes, this sense of an inner knowing and clarity. It's the same when we're burdened by our emails or sitting in those boring meetings or whatever is uncomfortable around you. One thought away is the different felt experience of life. It's not further away than that. And if it can happen with a gun in your back, it can happen with your emails or your colleagues or any other difficult situation you're facing, right?
Well, can I say one thing about that?
Sure.
Because people will think, oh, Fiona, aren't you this or that? And I just want to point out, this is an innate quality of every single human being. So every human being, for the fact that we're alive, you and I and the 8 billion people on this planet, have access to wisdom and clarity in the moment if we look there. Or, as you pointed out, if we fall out of our overthinking, noisy heads, we can fall back into that space where wisdom and clarity show up. So it's actually not about the terrifying situation. It's about knowing who we are and what we have access to, even in the middle of a busy, noisy, overwhelming life.
Yeah. So there was no chance in that moment to find freedom from the situation, right? Or freedom to do something. It was simply in the midst of that thought storm and circumstances, finding some freedom with whatever was going on. And yes, knowing that that's possible is very helpful for all of us. When we forget and we got caught up and we forget that our own thinking is part of the stress, it's actually the source of the stress that we feel day to day. So, invitation is see if you can catch yourself when you overthink. Hopefully not in as drastic of a situation like that, but when you wound up, you're overthinking, you're frustrated or even angry, see if you can just catch yourself and notice that, oh, your thinking has gone off into a thought storm that triggers all those emotions for you, and just notice if seeing that opens something up for you. Great. Great to have you here as always. We'll keep exploring in future episodes, so you'll see us in another episode.
Bye for now.
Bye.